Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. And God will bless the reading, this beautiful passage in his word. There's an opera singer, I guess about maybe 75 years ago. I don't remember him, I'm not that old. I'm getting up there though, but his name was Jerome Hines. Jerome Hines, I guess he was an opera singer, had a very beautiful voice, and he sang before kings and princes, presidents around the world. He's probably an encyclopedia, I suppose. I didn't look him up or anything, but he had wealth, much wealth, and fame. He was a famous man at his time. In his time, in the month of May, I'm not sure what year it was, he was on tour in Europe, and for 3 years, well, while he's there performing here and there and everywhere, he'd been working on they call it a religious opera, called I Am the Way, which was about the life of Christ. 15 pages had been completed by Jerome Hines, and he was struggling with his composition, and then he realized why he was struggling. He was writing about someone he didn't know personally. That's why he was having the difficulty. And this brought him to his knees one night. He knew the gospel. He'd been studying Christ himself in the Bible. He knew the gospel. And God smote him. He fell to his knees, and it says he was weeping before God. He realized he was not ready to meet God, his maker. And Jerome Hines found that his sins stood between him and God. And that's why he didn't know the Lord Jesus Christ. He understood that Jesus Christ died for his sins on the cross. He repented indeed. He was a broken man. And he discovered that salvation was through a person, knowing a person, trusting in that person, and that person being the lovely Lord Jesus Christ. As we've just been looking at in this beautiful portion here, Jesus saves, and that's what life is all about, is being saved. So we're glad you're here tonight. And if you're not saved, the Bible declares that we're lost. We're either one or the other. I'm either saved or lost. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the door. By me, if any man or woman, boy or girl, enter in, he shall be saved. Beautiful Bible word, salvation. So I'm either in the door, in Christ, and I've embraced him and made him mine. He's my Lord, my God, my Savior. Or I'm not in, I'm out. And that means I'm lost. So saved or lost. So tonight, if you're here, we're glad you're here. And if you've never bowed the knee, as Jerome Hines did, and turned your life completely over to the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord of your life, my Savior from sin, well, tonight may be your night. We trust God will speak to you, to your heart, and you might within feel the call of God. And if you do, if you sense God's really dealing with you tonight about your sin, your destiny, your life, then don't take it for granted it will happen again, because, you know, sometimes it doesn't happen again. So if it happens tonight, our prayer collectively is God's people that he will call you. You'll feel a call and make that decision that you'll never regret, is turning completely to the lovely person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in this lovely scene, they're in a very prominent place. These Peter, James, and John. That's Mount Hermon, we believe. They're having a very, it's just private. It's just the Lord Jesus. When they go up, it's the Lord Jesus Christ, Peter, James, and John. He took them up into this mountain, bringeth them up into an high mountain apart, privately. Taketh is take near to oneself. That's what he's longing to do with every sinner, is bring them near unto himself and be the friend he was singing about, Savior and Shepherd. Peter was quite overwhelmed. I'm sure they were. What we read. I mean, he was transfigured. That's the word metamorphosis. That's that when the caterpillar is turned into a butterfly. He completely changed. It's a little glimpse at the 1,000 years of peace when this is over, when that last soul is saved and the Lord Jesus Christ returns and peace will reign upon the earth after 6 days. So this is the 7th day. He's transfigured, and we read that his face shone like the sun. We can't relate to that. I can't even picture that. His face shone like the sun at high noon. And his raiment was white, not just white. I see white here tonight, but white as the light was his raiment. Thank you very much. Thank you. So Peter and James and John are really obviously overwhelmed at what they've witnessed. And then they see Moses and Elijah. Moses, the law, Elijah, the prophets, and they're there. They've been in heaven a long time. Moses finally got in the promised land. There he is, finally standing there. He wasn't allowed to go in there because of what he did with the rock. He smote it twice and spoiled the type. But now he's there. He's beside the Lord Jesus Christ. Elijah's beside the Lord Jesus Christ. And Peter, James, and John recognize them. Moses and Elijah talking with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're reading in another portion. They were discussing an accomplishment. His death. And that's what's referred to. An accomplishment. What he accomplished with his death was providing a way for sinners to be saved from sin and to be absolutely sure of heaven and to not walk this life alone, but to have Jesus Christ in me. Christ liveth in me. Now, Peter, somewhere here in the scriptures it says Peter, not knowing what to say, said. Well, Peter was always saying things. He was a very exuberant man, very endearing man. So he says, well, let's build 3 tabernacles. It's good for us to be here, Lord. We'll build a tabernacle for Moses and one for Elijah and one for you. Almost putting them all on the same plane. That's why the Father spoke. It's a great lesson for them. And a great lesson for us all. It is good for us to be here. The word is worthy of recognition, harmonious, perfection, beautiful. Beautiful, Peter said, for us to be here. In a very prominent place with the Lord Jesus Christ right here. And tonight, you are in a very prominent place. We need to understand that. Jesus Christ, our Lord, said, where 2 or 3 are gathered together, there am I in the midst of them. So we too tonight are in a very prominent place. Christ is here. And he stands outside the heart's door of those who don't know him, that are strangers to him, who do not know what it means to have my sins forgiven, to have the peace of God within me, the joy of God within me, the love of God within me, power over sin, and the certainty of heaven. That's salvation. So you are in a very prominent place. And the Lord Jesus is here, and he wants to save you. And you know, the only regret any Christian has ever had, anybody who's come and made a decision, I don't want to live my life alone anymore and go my own way. I want the Lord Jesus Christ to be my Savior, my Lord, my God, my Shepherd, my friend. Not one
has ever regretted making that decision. And the only regret that people have, that you might have, is what took me so long to bow the knee and acquaint myself with Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation, that's what life is all about. At some point in my life, I've got to get connected to, personally, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we have a presentation by the Father. The gospel message is a presentation of Him. What did He say? He said to Peter, James, and John, a bright cloud comes over. Imagine them hearing the very voice of God the Father. And He speaks. And He says, "This is my beloved Son." The word beloved denotes great strength of feeling, a preference over any other person. My beloved Son. Strength of feeling. The Lord Jesus Christ said in John 17:24, He's praying to His Father. He's nearing the end of His 3.5 years of service. He's about to go and be crucified. And He prays in John 17, and the prayer is recorded for us to read. That's the real Lord's Prayer. And in that prayer, He's addressing His Father, "Thou lovest Me before the foundation of the world." That tells us something very remarkable, doesn't it? Before the foundation of the world was laid, there was the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God always has been, is, and always will be. And the Father has always loved His Son. The Son of my delights, the darling of my bosom. John 15:9, He told His disciples, "The Father hath loved Me." The presentation of the gospel is a person. It's the Lord Jesus Christ, His perfect person. Knew no sin, did no sin, in Him no sin, God in a human body. And He came down that He might redeem us from the curse of the law, that He might be able to forgive us our sins and bring us into the family of God and have a certainty of heaven. I know in whom I have believed. That's what He wants. There was a gospel series like this going on, and a lady, a Christian lady, been trying to get her neighbor out, and finally one night she said, "Okay, I'll come. You've been inviting me now for about 2 years. You won't give up, so I'll come." The reason we don't give up is because we love. We love men and women, boys and girls with God's love. And you will too, if you trust Christ as your Savior. So she said, "All right, I'll come." And the preacher, she thought the preacher was a good preacher. He made the gospel plain and clear. He was an eloquent speaker. So she sat there with her friend beside her, praying the whole time to God while the preacher's preaching, that God would open her eyes and save her soul. So, on the way home, the lady said nothing. She had not a comment to make. She was silent. So she said goodnight. The next day, the Christian lady went over to see her, have a cup of tea. And she asked her a question. She said, "What did you think of the preacher?" And she said, "I did not think anything of him." And then she saw this disappointed look on this young Christian lady's face. And then with tears in her eyes, this is what she said. "I could not think anything of him. I could only think of the Christ He was lifting up before our eyes, the Christ who is now my Savior." And she was saved during the gospel meeting. That's salvation. It's Him. It's a presentation of a person. What a beautiful thing she said. Never mind the preacher. It's Christ. Never mind me. I am a nobody. I'm a nobody. God saved me out of the gutter of sin and separated me out of the gospel and has had me proclaiming the gospel now a long time. And I never even wanted to be a preacher. But God said, "I'm going to take the weak things and the vile things and I'm going to show men and women what I can do, sinful men." So I thank God that I'm here tonight.
preaching the gospel. Nothing to do with me. I'm speaking, thus saith the Lord, on behalf of God. He wants to save you. That's what life is all about. At some point in my life, I get Christ as my Savior. Now notice the pleasure. He mentions pleasure. God the Father brings pleasure into this. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. He said the very same thing at his baptism. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The word means to be pleasing, to gratify, to gain acceptance. He pleased the Father. The Father observed him every single moment of his life when he was here. And he brought delight and pleasure to the heart of his Father with every thought, every deed, every step he took. He pleased his Father. That was the whole motive of his life, was to please God the Father. He thought very much of his Son. The Lord Jesus Christ left the Father's side to come down here, and he knew before he came he would be despised, he would be rejected, he would be hated. He knew his end before he came, and he came just the same. I'm not sure if you've ever thought about that before. He was a man. He had feelings like we have. He knew what hunger was. He knew what thirst was. He knew what it was to be weary. He knew what pain was all about. You read in the Gospels what we, mankind, did unto this lovely man. He knows what pain is all about. He suffered. What do you think of him? Do you ever think of him? Life's about him. Eternity past is about him. Life's about him. Eternity future is about him. The Lamb is all the glory in Emmanuel's land, we sing. Somebody wrote this poem, "What think ye of Christ is the test. To try both your state and your scheme, you cannot be right in the rest unless you think rightly of him. God manifested in the flesh. As Jesus appears to your view, as he is beloved or not, so God is disposed toward you. And mercy or wrath is your lot." What do you think of him tonight? God's wrath abides over all of those who think nothing of him. That's so solemn. That's John 3:36. If you're not saved, you know, every morning you get up, the wrath of God, before your feet hit the floor, the wrath of God is present continuous tense, abides on you, his wrath. He's angry. He loves you. The wrath's not coming to a future day. But why is he so angry? Why is his wrath over you? Well, the verse says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that disobeyeth," that's the word, "disobeyeth the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." I have two sons. I could not give either one of my boys to die for anybody. But suppose I did. Suppose my oldest son. And I gave him. And he willingly said, "All right, I'll do that. I will die to save that man." And he dies. And my heart is grieved and sorrowful. My son went through death for him. Now, this man, who's living only because my son died, never comes to me and says, "Thank you." Never comes to me and says, "Thank you for giving your son to die for me that I might live." And then I hear he's saying terrible things about my son. Now, how do you think I'd feel as a father? Would I be upset? I think I would be very, very upset with that man. The wrath of God For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. And thus far in your life, that hasn't meant anything to you. Nothing. You're just carrying on your life, doing what you want to do, going where you want to go. No thought of God whatsoever. Never open the Bible. Never pray. No interest at all in Calvary. You can see why the wrath of God abides on men and women. And boys and girls, when they're old enough to understand what sin is, and I need a Savior. He pleased his Father. Matthew 12 and 18, "Behold my servant," is a quote from the Old Testament, "whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased." John 8 and 29, "I do always those things that please him." And because he pleased his Father, because he was a perfect man, he was a sacrifice for our sins. That's why he could die in our place. Perfection. You know all the animals that they sacrificed in the Old Testament? Nobody approached unto God unless an animal was sacrificed on the altar. But do you know that that animal had to be a perfect animal? Had to examine that animal. You took the best of your flock, brought the best to God, and they would examine it. The Passover lamb was examined for 4 days. It speaks of the number of the earth, his life. And the lamb is examined for 4 days to make sure there's no spot, no blemish, not a piece of an ear missing. And even after they offered it as a sacrifice, they would take the skin off and make sure there were no bruises within. If there were, that sacrifice could not be accepted by God. Because it was a picture. They were all pictures of the perfect one who knew no sin, separate from sinners, holy, undefiled. Therefore, we read in Isaiah 53 and 10, "It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief." The Father put his own Son. He was acting as God, righteous judge, in my place, in your place. "Put him to grief when his soul shall be made an offering for sin." When his soul shall make an offering for sin. He was punished. He had no sin. It was for us. It was for you. He offered himself as a sacrifice. And he rose from the dead triumphant. And now he's in heaven. And what's been going on ever since then? This gospel message has been going out to men and women, boys and girls, all over the world. He said in Matthew 16, "I will build my church." That's what's going on. He's calling men and women, young and old, out of this world that has no use for him. Away with him. The world's still saying the same thing. Away with him. We don't want to hear about him. You turn your radio on, you hear lovely hymns about Christ. You really search, don't you, to find any station that's playing anything about Christ. The world doesn't want Christ. There's no interest in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, tonight, you might have an interest in him. You might thank him in your heart, dying for you, dying for me, my sins. We read in Lamentations, it was the day of God's fierce anger. And he, from above, he poured fire, speaks of judgment, into my bones, and it prevailed against them. What he went through, we have no idea. He said, I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. 3 long hours, and we really do not understand that, what he went through. Well, whatever he went through caused him to go to the Garden of Gethsemane and sweat, as it were, great drops of blood, being in an agony. And he said, "Father, if it be possible, let the cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, thine be done." And that sums up his life. Not my will, thine be done. Prayed 3 times that we might understand the cup. And when they came to take him in the Garden of Gethsemane, Peter takes his sword out and he smote off the ear of one of the servants of the high priest, Jesus Christ, healed.
put his ear back on, told Peter to put his sword away, and he allowed himself to be taken out of that garden, bound, and he was crucified. He was God Almighty, and he did that for me and for you. See, do you understand how solemn? May God bless you tonight. Life's very solemn. God came down to die for sinners. That's how much he loves. He loves you. All your life he's just been waiting to bless you. And he can bless you tonight if you'll come and believe on him. He died for you. If I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm saved. A mother asked her little girl, I think she was only 12 years old. She said, on what are you depending to get to heaven, dear? She said, the justice of God. That really surprised her mother, 12 years old. She said, you mean the mercy of God, don't you, dear? She said, Mommy, no. The justice of God. I know, for Sunday school and reading the Bible and listening to the gospel preaching at night, that God punished his son for me. He took my place. And God punished his son. It wouldn't be just of God to punish me too. She understood that. That wouldn't be a right judgment. That's what she was depending on. That's what I'm depending on. Every Christian in the world, we depend on that. We trust in it. We believe it. God said it. He took the place, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, made sin for us, actually made sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And every single man, woman, young or old, who has come to the Lord Jesus Christ, we have been made righteous in him, a robe of righteousness. Because he brought that pleasure to the heart of his Father, Isaiah says, therefore it pleased the Father to punish his Son in our place. Now, it's very personal. This is very personal, God's salvation. He didn't end there, did he? This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Hear ye him. To be informed. To learn by hearing is the word. Learn by hearing. Listen to what my Son has to say. God, in these last times, Hebrews chapter 1, has spoken unto us by his Son. And God is saying, hear ye him, the Lord Jesus Christ. Most people don't want to hear about him. I can remember our daughter Amy. Amy's now 31. She lives at home. And when she was a little girl, she did something she knew she shouldn't do, and she felt there was some sort of correction coming or some rebuke or something like that. And I began to open my mouth. She used to put her hands like that over her ears. She didn't want to hear me. She was just a little thing, you know. People do the same thing today concerning this gospel message. They don't want to hear it. I was that way. I can remember driving around with my car when I'm just maybe 19, 18, 19. And at that time, it was a little different. I'm 63 now. There was a program on called Back to the Bible. And they always opened up with the same hymn. Back to the Bible. Back to the Bible. Back to the Word of God. I think Theodore Epp was the preacher way back then. Half hour program. And I'm listening to rock and roll on the radio. That's what I like. I like rock and roll. So I'm driving along and just enjoying the music, turned up loud. And then at 8 o'clock, I hear, Back to the Bible. Back to the Bible. And right away, my finger would go click. I changed it to the other rock station. I didn't want to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. 30 years old before finally God got my attention. I should have listened way back then. God says, hear ye him. Hear my son. Do you know 16 times the Lord Jesus Christ said, take heed. Take heed means to consider. Listen attentively. Take to heart earnest spiritual contemplation. That's what the word means. He's saying, listen to me. Your soul is in the balance. Hell is a real place. An eternal prison house. No hope forever and ever. Shut out from heaven. So solemn. He's saying, listen to what I have to say to you. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And it's him tonight. calling you to himself. Never mind me. I'm just speaking on his behalf. The gospel message is come unto me. By faith I come. I surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. I stop. The psalmist said in Psalm 38, I am ready to halt. I'm sorry for my sin. Are you ready to halt? Or are you still going to go on living for yourself? You got to get to a point in your life where you say the same thing. I'm sorry for my sin, and I'm ready to halt. I don't want to go that way anymore, the way I've been living all my life, just living for me. I'm turning from that way. My way is a sinful way. Take heed. 8 times he said this. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Well, we have ears. I saw a big sign, I think it was in the state of Massachusetts. I don't know what they're advertising. It said there's hearing, and then there's listening. People that don't listen don't get saved. You have to listen. Maybe listening. I trust you're listening tonight. In Luke 9:44, he said, let these sayings sink down into your ears. For your own self, for your own sake, into the interior. He's saying, let these words sink down. Listen to them. Listen to the gospel. And let the words sink down within, down to your hearts. Ye, hear ye him. I quiet myself. I stop thinking of other things. Like Jerome Hines. I think on him. Franz Liszt was a very famous piano player, composer, years ago, 150 years ago, 200 years ago, whatever. Very accomplished pianist. He played before kings and queens and princes, and one time he's in with the Tsar of Russia. He was invited by the Tsar of Russia to come and play the piano. He had all the noble friends and princes come and all the wealthy and so on. Now, Franz Liszt, he was a little peculiar. If he heard anybody talking, anybody whispering while he's playing his piece, he would stop. He demanded silence when he played. He's playing there, and the Tsar is there, and the whole room's filled, and it's such beautiful music coming from the piano. Magic fingers going across the keys. And then he heard somebody whispering, and he stopped playing. That's the way he was. Well, he didn't know it was the Tsar who was whispering. And the Tsar stood up. He wasn't happy. He said, why have you stopped playing? Well, this Mr. Liszt is very quick on his feet. He said, well, when your majesty speaks, all must be silent. Yes. Well, God speaks. People don't hear him because they're not quiet. Their minds are thinking of other things. Listen tonight. Listen. This might be your last opportunity tonight. If you're not saved, if you aren't in Christ, you're in your sins. And if you die in your sins, the Lord Jesus Christ said emphatically, you cannot go where I'm going. You cannot go into the Father's house because you died in your sins. No need for that. He died for your sins to cleanse you. The presentation of a person, hear ye him. The Bible's all about him. Colossians 1:18, in all things, among all, he might have the preeminence to be first, hold the first place, the highest dignity. And I already mentioned the Lamb, him, the Lamb, will be the glory, all the glory in Emmanuel's land. God himself came down, and he was here. Over in Sweden, there was an inn. They served beer and food, and there were rooms upstairs. The king used to sometimes, this particular king anyway, he dressed as an ordinary peasant, and he would go out just to see his people and how they lived, you know, and listen to the conversations. They were happy or sad. Did they like the government? Stuff like that. He wanted to mingle. So he came into this inn one night, and he asked the guy that ran the place if there was a room, and he said no. So he ordered a meal, and this man sitting at the table, and he overheard the conversation. He went over to the man that owned the inn. He said, who is that? Who's that man there? dressed in peasant clothes. He's just a nobody. Just some peasant drifted in. The man said, you know what?
Everybody can hear him.
The clothes he's wearing may be that of a peasant, but the voice is that of a king. The king of Sweden is in this room, and they all stood to their feet in great respect for him. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ came down from the glory. He wore ordinary poor man's clothing, but when he spoke with authority. The law says, but I say unto you. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only, the psalmist said. It's all about him. It's amazing, in Matthew 7, there are people who died in their sins. In their minds, they live good lives, and they deserve to go to heaven. Most people think that way. I know I did. They already know. They're not getting in. The door's closed. But they haven't left yet. They say to Jesus Christ the Lord, you know, we've done many wonderful works in thy name. Thy name and thy name. Three times. Many wonderful works. God is very gracious in his answer. Then will I profess unto them. That word profess means, yes, I know. I know all about you. I know all the good things you did. But depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. You see what he's saying? It's nothing to do with how I live. People think if I live a pretty good life, I got a chance of getting into heaven. No, you don't. None of us do. We need a Savior. A sinner needs a Savior. I will make mention of thy righteousness and thine only. Nothing to do with me. Well, they were terrified. We can picture that, can't we? They were terrified, this free man, disciples, a bright cloud over. Peter's still talking. He's still talking. And God speaks. He interrupts Peter. This is my beloved son. Never mind a tabernacle for Moses, a tabernacle for Elijah. This is my son, creator of all things. They were so afraid. Bright cloud, the voice of God. And it says that Jesus came and touched them. What a wonderful Savior. How tender. He touched them. And he said, arise, be not afraid. I'm going to give you peace. Oh, a blessed peace within. There's a jeweler, used to be in Hartford, Connecticut, for years, and outside the slogan, he had a slogan, POMG, and it meant peace of mind guaranteed. Well, when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, we can tell you that authoritatively from God's Word, peace of mind guaranteed. Peace. When I have peace with God, I receive the peace of God within, and all fear is gone. Be not afraid, says the Lord. He wants to touch your life tonight. Many do not come to him for salvation because they're afraid to come. They don't have a right understanding of God. Maybe that's why you're not saved. You have some sort of picture of God that's not correct. He's a loving God. For God so loved the world. God loves sinners. God loves you. He wants to bless you and give you that peace within. He said to the disciples, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth. My peace is an enduring, everlasting peace within your bosom. All is well with my soul. I may have some storms in my life, but one thing I know, all is well with my soul. And if I die unexpectedly, that's all right. I know where I'm going. I'm going home. He gives a wonderful peace. It's his desire that you would come to him. He said, don't be afraid. Hooray, touch them. Up in where I come from, some big furniture store. Here's what they said, their slogan. You don't just buy a piece of furniture. You buy peace of mind. You can't buy peace of mind. No.
I saw a bumper sticker one time. It said, "Dance your worries away." How about that one? Dance your worries away. Have peace. How silly. The Lord Jesus Christ, my peace I give unto you. And we have the person. God's provision is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. And we as God's people love that verse. Jesus only. He's all I need. He's all that I need. He's my Savior. He saved me. He's my Lord. He's my God. Jesus only. Oh, when I have the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, I have love in my heart, peace, joy, power over sin, and we love Him because He first loved us. I understand now. He gave Himself for me. God promised a man named Simeon. He's an old man, but God promised him he wouldn't die until he saw his salvation, God's salvation. And we read that Joseph and Mary brought the Lord Jesus Christ into the temple. He's a baby. Simeon knew. God spoke to him and he knew. And he came in and he took the baby. It's God. Imagine, he's reaching out and he's going to hold God in his arms. He was God in that little body. And you know what he said? "Mine eyes have seen thy salvation." It's in a person. It's nowhere else. We can't do anything. I just accept the truth. Bow the knee to this marvelous person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 4:12 says, "There's no name given to men under heaven, but that one name whereby we must be saved." We must be saved. We must be saved. And the name, Jesus only, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a beautiful story that I read. Maybe you heard the story. A man, maybe it was during the Civil War in the United States here. He was a very wealthy man. He had one son. And he loved art. And he had works by Van Gogh and Monet they were priceless. Picasso, hanging on the walls of his beautiful room in there above the fireplace. There were two or three. And he had one son, and he loved his son so very much. They were so close. The mother had died years and years before. He raised his boy. He's a wealthy man. Everybody knew about him. But one day, the war broke out. His son went and fought in the war. And what happened is he was bringing a young man that was wounded. He was bringing him to a medic. And when he's bringing this young man to a medic, a bullet entered the body of this man's son, and he died. That broke the father's heart. It broke his heart. He loved his son. He was just a broken man now. He had not a speck of joy within him. He's all alone. Looking at his paintings, he could take no pleasure in those paintings. "My son is dead." Well, on Christmas Day, there was a knock on his door. He opened the door, and there was a young man standing there, a soldier. He had a bundle under his arm. He said, "Sir, I am the young man that your son saved. He gave his life to save me. We were so close. Now, I do some painting," he said. "I do some painting, and I painted a portrait of your son, and I want you to have it." So he passed it to the man, and he unwrapped it and looked at it. It certainly wasn't a Picasso, but it was good, a very nice likeness of his son. You know, the father just wept. He cried. He took that painting and he took down the Picasso and the Van Gogh, and he put it over the fireplace. And it brought him comfort just to look at that. There were no cameras back then, you see. A portrait of his son. It was very well done. Well, by and by, he died. And by his request, all the paintings were to be auctioned off. And word got around. Even from Europe, people came. They knew about this man. People that had money and bought art, they came for the auction. They're all assembled. Now the auction begins, and the man is conducting the auction, stands up, and he says, now here's the first painting, he said, and it was the sun. And everybody's looking at him and at that. And so what are you showing us that for? We didn't come to buy that. Obviously an amateur painted that. The man says, a picture of his son. Nobody cared it was a picture of his son. He said, well, anybody bid $100? They're all just looking at each other. One man, a neighbor, he knew the man that died. He knew the son. He said, well, he put his hand up. He said, I have $10. $10, all right. $10, is there anybody going to bid any higher? They're all just waiting for this thing to get over, you know. That's why they came, hundreds of miles. They want to buy these priceless paintings. He said, going once, going twice, sold, gone, $10 to this man. Then he banged down the gavel. They were happy that happened because they looked at each other and you could hear them. Now we're going to get on with the real paintings and we're going to bid for them. As that gavel went down, the man said, the auction is over. And they were silent. What do you mean it's over? At his request, legal document, whoever bought that painting, he said, whoever gets the son, my son, gets it all. They get it all. And that neighbor man, poor man, he got it all. Everything was his. Everything. All those paintings, all the wealth, everything, because he got the son. And when you get the son, my friend, when you get the son, you know, you get everything. You get everything. Everything you're looking for. It's the son. The majority of people go through life trying to obtain a little of this and a little of that. They think that's the best we can do. And all the time, there's the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, standing outside hearts' doors, speaking through circumstances, gospel tracts, radio outreach, television outreach, gospel meetings. It's all about the Son. And when you get the Son, you get everything. You're completely satisfied. You have a joy you never knew existed. And a peace. Peace with God brings the peace of God. Read it to my heart. All fear is gone. Perfect love casteth out fear. I'm not afraid of anything. I'm not afraid of anybody. I'm not even afraid to die. Because I have the certainty of heaven, the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ. I saw, a card in somebody's refrigerator and showed a wallet opened up with $100 bills coming out and all these credit cards, you know, gold cards, and the keys to a Mercedes-Benz or Rolls-Royce or something there beside it, lying on a table. And underneath it, it said, he that has everything but Christ has nothing. He that has nothing but Christ has everything. And we in this room who are saved, and we know the Lord Jesus Christ, we have everything, everything we could ever desire. We have learned in whatsoever state we're in, therewith to be content. God's people are a contented people. God wants to bless you tonight. It's a choice, your choice. You choose. You choose Christ. This is what you're choosing. Beautiful life down here. And heaven as your home. And if you just don't trust him as your Savior. See, we decide, we determine where I'm going in eternity. If I don't trust Christ, there's only one other place for me. And God didn't, he's not sending me there. I chose to go there by refusing to bow the knee and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. May God bless you. We'll pray. Father in heaven, in that worthy name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we draw near to thee and thank thee for him. And we thank thee, we who are thine, that we have the Son, Father, and we would readily say, amen, we have everything, Father. How marvelous it is to be a child of God. We pray, Father, for any here tonight in our little company. They still have not yet turned to thy Son. and trusted him to be their Savior, to bring them into heaven at the end of their life's journey, to be their friend and Savior, Shepherd. We pray tonight, gracious God, that they might make that decision, that life-altering, destiny-altering decision, and say, yes, I will have the Lord Jesus reign over me. I'll believe in him. Father, we acknowledge that salvation is of the Lord. We thank you we were able to come in this room in quietness and consider him once again. We commit the seed sown to thee, asking for blessing in his name and for his honor and glory. Thy beautiful Son, thy beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thanks for coming.
Jesus, Son.